Hello, I am Blaze Bailey. You're watching probably the best show in the world, CMS TV.
Welcome to the night. You think you know Night Demon? Then the Night Demon Heavy Metal Podcast is for you. Step into the darkness as we peel back the curtain to give you an unprecedented, all-access look into the mind and the heart of the demon. We're talking band history, song analysis, studio anecdotes, stories from the road. It's everything a diehard Night Demon fan could want and more. This is the only place to learn the inside scoop, the deep dive trivia, the untold tales from the band members themselves and those closest to the Night Demon story. Need more? The sacred Night Demon crypt will be pried open to reveal demo recordings that have never before seen the light of day, all with in-depth commentary by the band and the people who were there for the writing and recording process. This is a gold mine, a treasure trove of all things Night Demon. Head over to nightdemon.net or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Dude, I wish we could get something of ours read by John Bush. That would rule.
Totally.
Well, it is Chris Anker Presents. Chris and Eric here. And somebody guessed in the chat room, not that it was real hard. I didn't try to make it really difficult. But today was the day, dude. They announced the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame inductees for 2024.
Dun, 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 dun.
And as always, it is a shit show.
Mm-hmm.
As it always, always is, man. We'll go through it, see what you think. These are the inductees, as announced today. Mary J. Blige. Starting right off the bat with somebody that does not belong in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. I don't even know that she belongs in the R&B Hall of Fame, does she?
For the 90s, right? Mary J. Blige?
Yeah, I mean, was she that big?
She was pretty huge, man, in the 90s.
I mean, I was big. I was a hip-hop fan, and I don't remember Mary. I mean, I remember a couple of songs, but
she was a favorite. Not of mine, but...
I don't remember her being that huge. I remember, like, what was the other one that's already in there? Missy Elliott was a lot bigger than Mary J. Blige.
Right. Well, we know it's political and everything. Now, I know I don't want to ruin the list if you're going in a certain order.
No, I'm not going in any order. Who?
But Cher was nominated, right? Or
yeah, she got in.
Cher she got in. But then I saw a headline where she actually was really vulgar about it. She was like, you know what? F you, Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And I was kind of surprised that what was that all about?
Well, I don't know. She doesn't deserve to be in there either. I mean, 50 fucking years, and what can you name? I got you, babe.
No. If I could turn back time.
Okay, that's two.
Okay.
2 and 50 years. You should have 50.
No, there's a third. There's a...
Yeah, do you believe in love? Was that
her?
Do you
believe in life after love?
Is that her? I thought that was
somebody
else. That
is her, man. And she was probably the first one to pioneer the whole using auto-tune as a thing.
Oh, that's an accomplishment that helped the world.
Well, to like use it like an instrument like that, where she was like, it sound like she was gargling or something. Yeah.
She stinks. She should not be in.
She stinks.
She's terrible. I don't like her. I don't like her. I never did. That dumb show of hers my parents used to make me watch. The fucking Sonny and Cher show.
Oh my God. Yeah, there's some rough ones of those. Oh. With that one when she's dancing with Michael Jackson and do it with the Jacksons and stuff.
Yes.
Doing the robot. They're all coked out.
She's horrible. Was it? Was it? Dancing Queen. It's like some song about a Indian or something.
Indian, right.
Or something.
Oh, the Navajo.
Yeah.
And she'd always do the thing.
She always sounded like she had a cock in her mouth. She stinks.
It looked like it with the tongue thing.
I hated her. And still do.
I don't hate her. I mean, there was a couple movies that I really liked Cher in.
Were they porn?
No.
Then no. What was she in movie-wise? What?
She was in Mask.
Yeah, I know. She could have played the other character.
She was in Moonstruck, which is a weird movie, but
I didn't see.
It was kind of funny. It's interesting. Everybody,
I saw Mask, just, Rocky Dennis. Right.
Yeah.
All right, here's another guy. I'm gonna put this one this way. This guy deserves to be in, but might be, for my taste, the second worst artist of all time. And the first artist of all time also made it in on this list, which just makes me even more nuts.
Weird Al Yankovic?
No. I liked Weird Al. He was fun. Talk about Jimmy Buffett.
Oh, right. You have to give him.
I get it. He's dead. He died this year.
Yeah.
Mr. COVID, Mr. Mm-hmm. Get Your Shots, got all his people shots and died.
Yeah.
Nice work there, Cheeseburger in Paradise. COVID in your veins. Isn't that how the song goes?
Blood clot in paradise.
Yeah, that's right.
No, I think he had cancer, right? He had turbo cancer. Sure.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He had cancer that he got and died from in like 6 hours, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Fuck Jimmy Buffett, but his music sucked.
Right.
That said, I did go to one of his shows once, and it was a lot of fun. I will say, I sat in one of the hot tubs at the top of the hill at Blossom Music Center one year.
What? They had hot tubs?
They had hot tubs, yeah.
Is that, that something he always does?
That was his deal. Like the summer party hot tub guy. But song-wise, I hated Cheeseburger in Paradise.
Yeah.
I hated Margaritaville. I don't even know that there are other songs.
They're depressing songs for some reason to me. They just remind me of people that are washed up in a bar somewhere.
Yeah. That's a good way to put it. He always came off like a loser in a bar.
Mm-hmm. I blew out a flip-flop and stepped on a Pop-Tart. Yeah. Whatever. Yeah, like, what did he step on?
I don't Pop-top, know. Pop-top. It might have been a Pop-Tart for all I know. I fucking can't stand him.
I think it was a Pop-Top. That was back when... soda cans, kids.
Yeah, with the pull-offs.
If you didn't remember, if you're not old enough, soda cans, you had to peel off the thing, and they were lethal. They'll cut a toe off when you're walking by.
Gotta say, that might be one of the best inventions ever, the pop top that we have now.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, you're absolutely... Not only were those other ones dangerous, man, I can't tell you how many times I sliced my fucking fingers up on pop or beer or whatever.
Right. How many times do you think the guy that invented that stepped on it before he went, okay, we're doing it this way with the push top?
Well, not only that, dude, you used to drink at that time when those were out, right? I mean,
everything was made with those old, all the soda cans were peeled.
How many of those pull things did you break off and then you were fucking trying to find a screwdriver or whatever to bang it in there to get the beer out?
That also can happen with the push tops too. There's weird stuff where
a lot less likely.
Less likely.
Yeah, I mean, that's a lot less likely.
Mm-hmm.
All right, well, since we're talking about lousy singers getting into the Hall of Fame, let's go to who I will say is the worst artist in the history of music to get into this stupid Hall of Fame. And again, I'll concede that he goes because there's a bunch of fucking morons that like this guy. I can't stand him. I heard a story once that he got arrested because he let out the shitter on his bus on a bridge and the shit dropped down into the water.
Ooh.
Or onto a boaters or something that were under the bridge.
Oh no.
And I was just like, too bad he wasn't under it. Cause he was shit. Dave Matthews Band.
Oh,
that is one lousy artist.
Yeah.
Do you like the Dave Matthews?
No. And remember, I think I was talking about this recently when I was trying to do an episode of Sea Glass Hunters, and some a-hole down on the beach, tourist guy from Arizona, was blaring Dave Matthews on the beach. He brought his own like little PA system down there and was like, had those songs, and he thought he was all hip and stuff. He was like a 60-year-old guy. He was messing up my whole show because that has licensing problems. And here I'm in nature trying to like film the beach, and Dave Matthews is going to give me a copyright strike.
Yeah, which you do not need at all.
No.
Yeah, but his music just is so generic and bad. It's pop Pearl Jam.
But it's a bang bang.
Yeah, it's just garbage, man. Just terrible. All right, let's get to a couple of artists, or at least one that deserves in.
Okay.
I firmly agree with Foreigner finally getting in.
Right.
Foreigner should have been in 20 years ago.
Yeah.
They got 25 freaking hits. They sold 100 million records. That should have been first ballot.
Mm-hmm.
Not 20 years of waiting because they didn't get along with Jan Wenner. You know, but.
Interesting.
Foreigner's in. Here's this one. I don't know what you think on this. I have a definite thought on this. Peter Frampton.
Certainly belongs in there.
You think certainly, huh?
Well, I mean, I don't know. I grew up with my parents rocking the Peter Frampton record at parties and stuff.
But they were rocking one Peter Frampton record.
Right.
Just Frampton Comes Alive.
They did have the other one, too, in my parents' defense.
What was the other one?
I'm in You.
Oh, yeah. I'm in you, you're in me.
Yeah.
I'm in you.
Now, what's funny is when I was like probably 6 years old, I wanted to be like a spoof comedy writer.
Okay.
And I wanted to do like music, make fun of stuff. And one of my lines was like, Peter Frampton's new hit, I'm in poo, you're in pee. And I just thought that was fucking hilarious. I was like, Kiss missed the bus. Or it was just like dumb, like... first grader jokes. But I like, totally wanted to do stuff like that. But anyways, I digress.
Did you ever try stand-up comedy?
No, no, never.
Mic night or anything?
No, I like the idea of like you know, writing jokes.
Right.
Not necessarily having the courage to perform them or anything anywhere. But maybe now, maybe I would now after doing our show, I'd feel a little more comfortable.
Dude, I did
trying
it once.
That.
I did an open mic night one time. Did 5 minutes. It went pretty well, actually. And I was surprisingly not nervous. That was the part that I thought for sure I would just be wrecked nervous-wise.
Mm-hmm.
Got right out there. I didn't have a memorized routine together. I just sort of had like some stories I wanted to tell.
Right.
I told two stories. People laughed. I was like, okay, this isn't so bad. And then I stopped because I was like, I am not going to do this until I do a suck set.
Right. Until you bomb.
Like, yeah. I was like, hey, that's the one time I'm done.
Right. Well, now it's for the big comedians, it's tough because everybody's videoing everything and putting their shows up and the jokes get, you know, seen ahead of time. It probably used to be a little easier, but no, I would like the idea of trying to write funny stuff. And but I don't know how much material these guys have to come up with to have a professional career. I know they have writers, most of them, right?
Yeah, they have. Well, I mean, dude, you got to figure every special's about what, 45 minutes?
Right.
And you got to, I know I go see Landau, Dave Landau, every time he comes here.
Which is how often?
Twice a year.
Twice a year he comes. Okay.
Yeah. And he always has 60 to 70% new material every time. I mean, he does have some what I'll call standards that are right. Like, you know, in his set every time. And he cycles some things in and out with, you know, I mean, he kind of writes about what's going on today. So he could use something that he did use 6 months ago to lead to a different place now, you know, because the world hasn't changed that much in 6 months that he can, if he does a political joke, like, I doubt, like I've seen a couple of comedy shows in the last like year or so, and I've noticed that the COVID thing is completely gone now.
Right.
No one's talking about COVID anymore. Mm-hmm. Where during COVID, I went to some comedy shows, and that was the only joke was COVID. Right. COVID, and you're stuck at home and COVID, and, you know.
Right.
this kind of shit.
Writing jokes about what your reality is at that moment. Yeah. Because exactly. Everybody locked down. So it was lockdown mm-hmm. jokes.
Yeah. But all right, let's get back to the list here. Here's one that certainly belongs in Cool in the Gang.
Right.
Stop it. They don't belong in at all.
Right.
They're an R&B band or.
Yeah, pop R&B.
They're a pop band. They do not belong in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. They just don't belong.
Do they even have I guess they had a good. Yeah, they had guitarists in there, but they were kind of like clean sounding disco guitarists.
Do you get to go into the Hall of Fame because you opened for a band that's in the Hall of Fame? Is that how that goes? Wasn't Cool in a Gang opening for Van Halen?
Yeah, they did. I think they're just broadening the term of what rocks or what's slamming. You know what I mean? It's not necessarily, obviously, it's no more the bands that you would find in the rock section of the record store. Yeah. You know, they're just like, oh, well, that song from Beastie Boys, What You Want, it rocks, man. It's slamming. So they're a rock band now. You know,
I could live with the Beastie Boys. At least they had some rock musicians, guitars. True. There's no rock guitar in Cool in the Gang. There's no rock music in Cher.
You got me there, man.
I mean, it's.
Although, again, didn't we look up a Cher concert to go watch what's his name playing Joel guitar? Yeah. Joel Hoekstra. I mean, how could we say there's no guitar when Joel Hoekstra is playing in the band?
Because he's not playing the kind of guitar that he would play. He's playing. He's not playing Whitesnake riffs. He's
like me when I had the big dumb guitar in Bow Wow Wow.
Yeah, would you call that metal?
No.
I mean, that's the thing is.
I hated that guitar.
Would you consider that an AB to your Piercy gigs? No. You know, it's two different things. I'm not saying that either's bad. I'm saying that they don't belong. Bow Wow Wow would not get into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
And again, it sounds like from where you're going with this list that they would probably get in there and they're not.
Well,
even
they probably
from here.
Would at this point. Rome would get in.
Yeah. It does it matter at all that these are American or non-American bands? Does that matter at all to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame?
I don't think so. I think all that matters is if they suck enough dick to get in there.
Political. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you're like, Jimmy Buffett, he did his job and pushed everybody to get the shots to go to the show. We have to put him in there.
Yeah. Plus he died. So they could do Jimmy unfortunately doesn't get to see, they could play the sad sack bullshit.
Right.
People are not liking my take on Frampton, by the way. Frampton makes sense.
Right. I was against it too.
Hell, he was in Humble Pie. Humble Pie doesn't matter. They elect people for their individual bands. For Humble Pie, I don't have a problem with Peter Frampton. For Peter Frampton solo, and let me be clear, I love Peter Frampton solo. I love a lot of the albums that he did after that sold like a copy to me and a copy to Peter, and that's it. Like, I don't even know what the album's called, but he had a song called Lying that almost no one remembers. Mm-hmm. Is my favorite song of all time by Peter Frampton.
Okay.
You know, I'm not saying that Peter sucks. I'm saying that he didn't have enough. This is the Hall of Fame. This would be like if you elected a utility player from a baseball team into the Baseball Hall of Fame. To sit next to Babe Ruth and Ty Cobb. No. Mm. No, these guys didn't earn. Peter Frampton had one monstrous album. Nobody's going to take that.
It's like, why don't you put Charlie Sheen in the World Baseball Hall of Fame?
Why not make Charlie? Why not make Charlie Sheen one of the pillars of the the Acting Hall of Fame? Because of 2.5 Men.
Right. I was thinking the Cleveland Indians. That's where I was going with that. When he played what movie was that? Where he was Major League. I was thinking of Major League, folks. It's bad if I have to explain it. It's not funny.
Don't write that one down for your comedy routine.
Exactly.
And people, Frampton belongs in.
He's in.
He's in.
Do you feel like we do?
Yes, I do. I love him. Don't get me wrong.
Maybe he was the first guy. He was like doing the first change your voice thing.
Yeah. Whatever that is, the rock box or whatever.
The talk box.
Talk box.
It was like a tube that came up and you kind of open your mouth and it changes the
sound of it. Let me just say, for the record, that invention sucks and should never be used.
Mick Mars used it.
So did Richie Sambora. Both of them should be smacked. It's fucking not a good
mix. Bars of that. That's rock, wow. Yeah,
that stinks. And then stunk when Bon Jovi did it with the wah 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 wah.
I don't like that either. You should have maybe done it with that. You know what I hate? It's not a talk box thing, but it got me thinking today. I'm gonna have to unfortunately say something negative about Creed. The song that I think is a fantastic song, like the song Higher from Creed.
Will you take me higher?
The vocal is an amazing vocal that Scott Stapp sang on that, and the song itself is really good. I remember when it first came out, I go, whoa, I stopped, I turned it up, I'm like, it gave you the chills when it gets to the let's find a way. But man, the way that guitar player plays that part is just, he tries to play it like he's in a death metal band.
Right.
He's like, let's go there. It's like, it bugged me in the 90s. Yeah, it bugged me in the 90s. And I just saw them, like some clip of them playing on the cruise, one of the cruises or something. And they're playing again. There he was going, you know, let's go there. What the fuck? What does he do that for?
I'll tell you why he does it. And I'm not saying you're wrong either. But Mark is a metal guy.
Okay.
He's a metal guy.
All right.
He made money not being a metal guy. Right. So he goes wherever he can. He tries to infuse that little bit of metal. Think about like Alter Bridge. You don't think of Alter Bridge as a metal band at all. But if you listen to Alter Bridge, there's one or two songs every time that's like really guitar heavy. And it's because Mark wants to play some metal.
I wish they would just re-record that and just kind of just suck it in a little. Let's go there. Let's make our escape. Come on. He ruins that awesome song there.
I don't think you're going to convince him to re-record a song that sold like 20 million records.
Well, I mean, maybe they, I think when they re-record it, then they can own the whole rights to the new recorded version. So
it might be heavier. Doing that.
Oh, I know. Probably heavier. Would be.
It'd be downtuned.
Yeah. Let's do it a whole octave lower.
That's right.
Let's go there.
Let's turn it to drop D on the 7th string, man.
Right.
Sound like a fucking Korn song.
I am starting to see like the future of guitars coming in where they have like 8 strings and stuff. They're going 8, 9 string, you know. I mean, obviously there was always 12 strings.
Right.
But these ones, they are changing to a style of music of the future. I can see it starting to unfold.
Right.
Where it's like, I'm going to be out. It's basically a bunch of random little flurries of music. And it's amazing that they can play it. I don't know if they create it in a computer program. Like, it's almost like AI wrote it or something. Mm-hmm. And then these kids learn it.
Right.
And it's like, I don't know how they even remember it. You know, I'll always give credit to people that can remember very intricate pieces, you know, that don't seem to have a lot of repetition in them, which isn't rock. You know what I mean? To me, rock's supposed to be simple and repetitious. And as we say, the working man's simple, angsty music. But this is like a new kind of weird sound they're getting. Polyphia is another band that we've discussed around here where they're kind of going with this new sound, and these other guitarists are coming up. I don't want to say anything negative about it, but I could never do it. I don't understand it. I don't.
It's just a different flavor, dude. It's the,
it's the
outgrowth of what is now old bands. It's like the next generation of Korn and Meshuggah. And, you know, some of the middle extreme bands like Killswitch Engage and stuff like that, maybe a little Slipknot. They all have that less solo-y, more cutting sound?
Well, no, I mean, these guys, it's just, it sounds like one long solo almost. It's but it's so sporadic and it's just like, it's like some futuristic,
like math metal, like math, more like Meshuggah.
Right. Yeah. I mean, to say like Slipknot at this point, that would be like your parents' fucking band, you know what right. I mean? That's a Slipknot came out in like 1998. 99,
yeah.
Chris, it's 2024.
I know, they're old. That's what I'm saying. Dude, all these bands are old.
All of them.
I look at them as new. I forget who I was talking to today, and they were like, oh man, Limp Bizkit is still a great band. It was Seth.
Yeah.
And right. I was like, God damn, they're fucking 30 years old.
Limp Bizkit is the Jimmy Buffett to these
they kids are
today. Yeah.
They are. They're an old band. Korn is an old band. Disturbed is out there playing headlining shows for, you know, 10,000, 15,000 people. They're an old band now. To me, they're always going to be a young band because they were the next wave.
Right. Now, Rolling Stone, an old, extremely old magazine.
Oh, yeah.
Ancient. That's surprising. It's still even around. I mean, yeah. I know they got to be struggling because you actually have to pay to look at a Rolling Stone article, I'm pretty sure. Yeah, you know what I mean? Like
that?
Subscribe to even like look at an article. But I noticed on Facebook and these things, Rolling Stone does play new artists that they're promoting. And all these young new artists are awful.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, that's the Rolling Stone way. Think about even in the 70s and 80s. Look at the bag of shit that Rolling Stone has told us was great. Elvis Costello. you know,
Elvis Costello,
Lou Reed,
right?
anything from that, those are all Rolling Stone darlings, and they all stink. REM, you know, dude, these are the bands that Rolling Stone told us were the greatest of all time,
right?
And they all suck.
No, but they're not getting away with it. I mean, all those bands you mentioned, yeah, they're funny, but all of them had at least some hit we know or something.
They had hits that we know because they were overplayed.
Sure.
Even though they suck. Are
true.
You tell me a good REM song. One that you listen, one that you hum to yourself now just because it pops into your head. That has not happened to you ever in your life. And that band is 40 years old.
Maybe if I got like an orange crush soda out of the machine, I'd be like, I've got my spine, I've got my orange crush. Hopefully with a push pop top, right, Chris?
You know what? They can take their losing their religion and stuff it up.
Oh my God. No, I hated them through that time period.
Oh my God.
It's me in the corner. But and you remember that year they won all those goddamn awards on the, and he had like somehow had like 100 shirts on and he kept taking his shirt off for another political statement.
Just a dick.
At least they disappeared for a long time after that.
Yeah, thank God. But then a bunch of clone bands came back in the 90s of them. Who could ever forget that? Another horrible band, Live.
Right.
Live was just the metal version of REM.
Now we know there's so many suicides in the 90s, man.
Oh, Jesus Christ. But Live was another band that got tons of love from Rolling Stone, and they were terrible. They were the B version of Stained,
which was a
B version of everything else.
These bands, though, again, they were actual. A lot of them were bands. If you went and saw the concert, there was a band playing. Now it's not even that. I mean, it's literally solo artists coming out on the stage wearing goofy outfits, like crazy Elton John type outfits that Elton John would have worn back in the day, or just ridiculous stuff where you almost don't recognize them. It's almost like they're coming out in costumes, and none of them seem like actual legit artists to me. They seem like kind of crazy actors or something they're throwing out there that are just, there's nothing to this music either. It's just, like computer music, and they're kind of just yelling over it or trying to rap over it or something.
You know what this music is? It's a less effort given to make it version of boy band music.
Right.
If you took boy band music, Backstreet Boys, NSYNC, whatever, put in less effort to write more of it, that's what you got now. Just well, let's rhyme boy with toy. Let's find words to fit in between.
Mm-hmm. And the K-pop stuff too is goofy as hell.
God, that EDM. EDM's another one that's just nonsensical shit. Let's just make a bunch of bleeps and blips, but put it on a 180 beats per second so that it gets people that are tripping going.
Right.
And we'll and call they were doing it good.
Last week we talked about Coachella.
Mm-hmm.
They had that kind of stuff there, the K-pop bands. I can't even pronounce the one band that was there, but they had a song like 1-800. I'm forgetting it now. It was stupid. I was just looking at the article, but it was terrible. And I'm like, oh man, Coachella, who would pay to go to this thing?
Yeah, I know. All right, Krista Carlo, you're no longer allowed to listen.
Ban him.
You're banned, Krista Carlo. You are not allowed to watch this show anymore.
You're not banned. We're kidding, Krista Carlo.
Jim, you can go fuck yourself as well.
Chris Reed didn't mean that.
Yes, I did. Get out of here with these awful takes.
Neither. We can't afford to lose any watchers, Chris.
Look, what are these two going to do next? They're going to tell me the top 10 songs of the Dave Matthews Band and why Dave Matthews is the greatest artist of all time.
Lou Reed, yeah.
Sucks.
Really confused me. His lyrics, I was like, what are you talking about? He was talking about cross-dressing and stuff back in the... I didn't like any of that stuff.
I didn't like... Like, I remember my mom. What was the band David Johansen was in?
The New York Dolls.
New York. Hate that, too.
Yep.
Hate that shit, too.
Don't
that
get was, it. And looking at him is terrible, yeah. too. Like,
and that
scary
was Rolling
dudes.
Stone Darling as well.
Yeah.
I remember my mom took me to see David Johansen. We went to a show. Oh. You know, I was all of maybe 12 years old, and I hated it. What does that tell you? A 12-year-old at a super loud concert and hates it. You know, that's brutal. Mm-hmm. You know, David Johansen, that's another one of those bands that just sucked. Not for nothing. I always thought Frank Zappa sucked.
Right. I don't know. Musicians will probably get mad for me saying that, but I never, it's not that I thought he sucked. I mean, I know he was very adventurous musically, but that doesn't translate to me as good songs. Yeah. See, we're just bumping everybody out.
Of course. Well, it's Jim again. Anything I say, he'll disagree with. But Jim thinks that everybody from the 80s sucked. He thinks there wasn't one good hair band. The last good band of all time was Deep Purple. And then there were no good bands in Jim's world.
Deep Purple, probably the pure originators. He might be onto something with that.
Yeah, he's an old douchebag. That's what it is. That's
what old he's crabby onto. Guy.
Old crabby douchebag. All right, let's get back to this list of winners going into this Hall of Fame that just makes my city embarrassed again. Next on the list, Alexis Corner.
Alexis Cornhole?
I don't know who that is. Mm-mm. And you know what? I'm not going to look. And I'm going to tell you why I'm not going to look. Because if they're inducted to a Hall of Fame, I shouldn't have to look.
Right. No, yeah, good point.
I should know, even if I don't like them. I'm not a Taylor Swift fan. But if Taylor Swift was on this list, I'd be like, okay, it's Taylor Swift. Not a fan. Heard her name. I never heard of Alexis Corner until today. How can that be a musical Hall of Famer?
Is she on the list?
No, she's not. I see in this list, you want to know what it makes me mad about? Where's your goddamn boss on this list? Right. He had 20 hits. I mean, he legitimately had 20 hits.
They were never on the cover of Rolling Stone, I don't think.
Sold 50 million records or whatever it is.
Right. Yeah, I know. I agree.
Played in front of 10 million people in the heyday.
Definitely Rat would have been in the rock, you know, section of the record store. And
I think Rat should be in there before Alexis Corner.
Mm-hmm.
It's ridiculous.
And and they would accept it. I mean, I could never see Steven turning something like that down. He is in the heavy metal Hall of Fame.
Yeah, but that's just a guy.
Right.
That no offense to that guy. I'm happy that he does that, and I hope it does turn into something.
Right.
But let's be honest, it's a guy. Mm-hmm. And a lot of getting into that Hall of Fame is, hey, are you going to be in town this date? Can you show up?
Right.
And then you're in.
Yeah.
You know, I mean. Tom Hazard's in there, I believe.
I guess there's a point for some stuff that you're invited to as a famous person where you're doing the people that are inviting you more of a favor than they're doing for you, kind of thing. But
I know he would never
turn down the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame or anything to make a political statement.
Should. I'm not saying that he should. I'm saying he belongs in there before Alexis Corner. I'm also saying he belongs in there more than this other huge name that's going in, Norman Whitfield.
Norman Whitfield. Is that the singer for
Ugly Kid Joe?
Ugly Kid Joe? That's what I was going to say. Is it?
No. That's okay. Whitfield Crane.
Okay. That's totally who I was thinking. You were reading my mind.
Norman Whitfield.
You're a Whitfield Crane, no?
Norman Whitfield was an American songwriter and producer who worked with Berry Gordy's Motown labels during the 60s. So this guy may actually belong in some Hall of Fame.
Sure.
Now that goes back to, are we considering the Temptations as a, or the Four Tops Rock and Roll Hall of Fame? To me, no.
No?
R&B Hall of Fame, maybe.
The Funk Brothers.
You know, I mean, come on. This is Norman Whitfield. Come on. Ridiculous.
I think Norman Rockwell.
No, he deserves as much. I know Norman Rockwell's work more than I know Alexis Corner's. Here's another one that, to me, I know this name. Not saying good or bad. I know the name. John Mayall? M-A-Y-A-L-L?
Okay. Not John Mayer.
John Mayer.
John Mayall.
Yeah. What did he do?
Is he a blues dude?
I think so.
Okay.
I've heard that he's an old fuck.
But that, yeah, it's like, isn't that more country or?
John Mayall. Looks like he's still alive. He's like, God, he's got to be 1,000. Man, he's old. John Mayall is a blues guy. John Mayall's Blues Breakers, Volume 3.
Okay. Yeah, I think he's a good guitarist, too. Or,
all right, well, that's wonderful. Nobody's heard his name.
Should we look him up? Are these people up or no?
No.
All right.
No, not that guy. For what?
Here's another in case we're missing out on something. I don't know.
Here's another one. Rolling Stone Darlings. I just think they stink. The MC5s.
Oh, right. They're very...
Yeah, they stink. I'm just going to say it the way it is. They stink.
Were they the first...
They wrote garbage garage rock.
Yeah.
That Rolling Stone sucked their dick and made them into bigger than...
There were better garage rock bands than them.
If Rolling Stone doesn't kiss their ass, no one ever knows of them.
Right.
They suck.
Oh, they had a cool name though, and that the video of them playing the one song was pretty cool. Yeah. What's that song they had? The
I don't know.
No, you do.
The MC5s.
Yeah. God damn it! Why am I spacing out that hit? Because
they weren't that good. That's why, because they weren't
turn
that
up
good.
Or whatever. No.
The MC5s. Oh, I'm looking them
hey,
up.
Siri,
right
what
now.
Was MC5's biggest hit?
Kick Out the Jams.
Kick Out the Jams. God damn it. Yes. There we go.
Yeah. Whoopee.
Kick Out the Motherfucking Jams.
Yeah. They stink.
Yeah. That song was whatever. I mean, they were one of those bands that just kind of looked cool. They had their afros, white guys with afros.
Yeah. Great. Wonderful.
Looked like Jimi Hendrix's band or something.
Well, then let's get Leo Sayer in there too, because he's a white guy with an afro as well. That's right. Jesus Christ. Are you fucking kidding me with this?
Leo Sayer had more hits.
Yeah, he did. He actually did.
He had more of an afro and more hits.
Yeah. Here we go. That's What Friends Are For. Dionne Warwick makes the Hall of Fame.
No.
Oh, yes. She's in.
Deja vu. Could you be the dream that I once knew?
That just stinks. Here's another one, and I'm a hip hop guy, but I never got this. A Tribe Called Quest. I don't hate them. I don't love them. They're not worthy of a Hall of Fame. Mm-hmm. again, I can't beat on the Hall of Fame door enough here. This is a building that they pretend is the centerpiece of my city.
Just Me, Myself, and I. Is that that band?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, that song was pretty cool.
This Hall of Fame, our city, my city, is right. Supposed to be celebrating music by having this. We are the center of the rock world.
Yeah.
And here comes Norman Whitfield and Dionne Warwick and Cher and the Matthews Band.
How much of this is race related due to the demographic of Ohio?
It could be DEI.
I mean, and I do think, you know, you got to show love to all around. You don't want to make it just a white thing. I mean, rock, there would be no rock without black folks. But I wouldn't go to Dionne Warwick as a inspiration in that capacity. No. You know?
Dude, there's plenty of black artists that could be in there. Chuck Berry obviously is in there and obviously belongs in there. Jimi Hendrix belongs in there. Is in there, fine. But let's not pretend that because they were black, that made them better than they were.
Right.
Sorry. Dionne Warwick was generic cheese R&B to anybody that was an R&B fan.
I'm trying to think of any song that of hers that could remotely be rock.
There aren't any.
Right.
She's not a rock she's an R&B artist. Period. R&B pop.
Right.
She's good point, Fuego. Good point. She had the psychic hotline back in the day. Yeah. Okay. So if there is a psychic hotline Hall of Fame, maybe she belongs in there with
Well, the Deja Vu song kicked that off. You're like, legit, man. She didn't know she was psychic or Deja Vu.
Let's see here. Big Mama Thornton.
Mm.
I'm assuming that's a blues chick.
Yeah.
I don't know.
She's not just black.
What, Big Mama? Big Swedish.
Is she Swedish?
Here's another one. Suzanne de Passé.
De Passé?
I don't know. D-E-P-A-S-S-E.
I like de Passé.
Is that de pussy? De Passy?
Sounds like it.
Now, what did she do? I'm unaware of her. What is she? Suzanne... De Passé. Lady Sings the Blues?
Oh, so this is going way back. Lady Sings the Blues. That's like jazz from the 30s or something,
looks like
right?
She's still alive.
Well, then must be jazz from the 60s, though. She's still
it looks
alive.
Like she might have toured with the Jacksons or something, the Jackson 5. Or she discovered the Jackson 5, maybe.
Yeah, she's probably a 60s artist, just some jazz artist.
She found the Jackson 5. Wow, that must have been really a discovery.
Yeah.
See Michael Jackson go, wow, there's some talent there. Mm. Great work. Who else did you discover?
Right. I mean, their parents are the ones that pushed them and trained them and probably got their showcases together.
Mm-hmm. And then last but not least... Ozzy Osbourne.
Okay. Mr. Alamo Peepee Man.
Yes. Of course he belongs in there. That being said,
I'm
not the biggest Ozzy solo fan. I love Black Sabbath, obviously. And those first, six albums, I guess, were really good. Which I guess if you have six good albums, that should be an automatic. Six platinum selling records should sort of be an automatic, but Ozzy has not done, I would argue, not done a single good album since, and I'm talking good, forget great, I'm talking good since Osmosis maybe.
Well, he's made a lot of money for the industry in other ways, his television show. I mean, he's been a nice, he's played along well as like an actor. I mean, I could see where as he's getting to the very end here, they're going to reward him for his work. I mean, regardless of hits, he's managed to like stay in the public eye for a good extra. I mean, God, what is he, 50 years? I mean, just Black Sabbath alone being such an inspiration to heavy metal.
Yeah, well, but Black Sabbath is already in. He's already in with Black Sabbath.
He's already in with Black Sabbath, but then, you know, he goes in and he's keeping the crazy heavy metal spirit alive all through the 80s, the 90s. It kind of was a struggle. By the 2000s, he's doing the Osbournes TV show, and he's kind of picking up a whole new market of people. But, I mean, just the fact that they kept him Weekend at Bernie's there, medicated through that show. And
Well, they're bringing the show back.
Bringing it back.
No, they are. They announced that last week that they got greenlit for new episodes of the Osbournes.
Ugh.
And Ozzy can't even stand up. They're trying to figure out a way to give Ozzy one last show and not have him in a fucking wheelchair.
Is what network is even, is it the MTV?
It's got to be, or Netflix or something.
Was it VH1? What was the show on before the Osbournes?
It was like MTV or VH1, one of those two.
Okay.
It was like one of the last bastions of rock and roll before they started doing 16 and Knocked Up or whatever. You know, I'm just looking at Ozzy's career as a solo artist.
Mm-hmm.
Blizzard of Oz is amazing. Diary's amazing. Bark at the Moon, pretty good. Ultimate Sin, pretty good.
Yeah.
Like No Rest for the Wicked, I thought was fantastic. I know most people don't love that one. No More Tears, I think, is his best solo album. I know a lot of people don't agree with me there, but I love No More Tears. Just a great record.
Epic record.
Osmosis, that's when he started with the Joe Holmes era and Perry Mason and stuff, which was kind of like, not my thing. Down to Earth was garbage other than one song.
I was out of the game at this point. I was like unfamiliar. Where year are we at this point?
2001.
Yeah, give us the dates on these.
Yeah, 2001 was Down to Earth, which is a terrible record that had the song Facing Hell, which is a great song.
Right.
Undercover, it's a covers album. Black Rain, 2007.
Black Rain. Was there a guy that was doing a song called Black Rain, like a black dude? It was like a comedy
Chocolate
bit.
Rain. Chocolate Rain.
Chocolate Rain.
Black Rain had the wonderful hit, I'm Not Gonna Stop.
Oh,
I Don't Want to Stop or whatever. That song sucked. Oh, I don't
want to. Okay.
It was like Zakk Wylde's comeback, I think, and it just junk. All right. Scream. 2010, that's another dud. Let me hear you scream.
Let me hear.
That was the, if I'm not mistaken, that was the first one with Gus G on it.
Okay.
And I'm looking to see if I'm right on that. And I am. Gus G was on that one, and that album blows. Then he took a 10-year hiatus and came back with Ordinary Man in 2020.
10-year hiatus.
10 years. And that was, that jewel had him and Elton John in a duet. It had him and Post Malone in a duet. It had him and Travis Scott in a duet. No.
I don't even think I remember hearing the press on the Post Malone thing, but I just laughed at it, and I don't think I even heard the song.
It's really not good.
Mm.
Under the Graveyard was a pretty cool song on that record. But that, again, that's one. The rest of it was just junk. Right. And then, 2 years ago, they released Patient Number 9.
Okay, right, which was okay.
Better, I guess, but first of all, Andrew Watt is not a good guitar player.
Okay.
That guy is not good. And they give this guy love like no one's business. He played on these last two Ozzy records, and he's as generic as they come.
Didn't he sound? I thought it sounded like Zakk Wylde was playing on it. No,
Zakk played like a song or two. This last one had a bunch of guys. Okay. Zakk, Iommi was on it. Mike McCready from Pearl Jam was on it. Jeff Beck played on it.
That Perry Mason or the was it, what was it called?
Patient Number 9.
Patient Number 9. Now what could, I thought there was a famous guitarist on that though.
Jeff Beck.
Yes, Jeff Beck.
Yeah, Clapton's on one of these songs. Another overrated guy in my mind.
Assured Window Cleaning specializes in window cleaning, chandelier cleaning, blind cleaning, gutter cleaning, and post-construction cleaning. In business since 1947, Assured Window Cleaning has proudly been serving its customers in Cleveland for 75 years. As a family-owned and operated business, Assured Window Cleaning has built their reputation on trust and delivering the best results possible. When you need window cleaning services for your home or business, contact Assured Window Cleaning. We're one of the top window cleaning companies in all of Cleveland for both residential and commercial. Visit our website today at www.assuredwindowcleaning.com or call us at 440-989-0122 for a quote. And remember, everybody knows Tony. Contact Assured Window Cleaning today.